You know more because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Morning, 7:37 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. I know we are. We're having a lot of fun this morning. I don't know. It's just some stories make me laugh. The cannonball thing, which is an amazing story. We get to have fun with that. And even once in a while, play you a Princess Bride clip. It's one of my all-time favorite little things. Mr. Mayor Grover Robinson, he is the mayor of the city of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday at about this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be back. Always something going on, so it sounds good.
There's always something going on. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I know obviously one of the, there's several big things that came up Monday at the press conference, and I just wanted to ask you a couple of follow-up questions about that. I was not able to be there because I had another thing that I had to take care of at that time, but I did watch. And one of them, I know people are going to ask for the clarifying question here. You announced that because of the decline in current hospitalizations, that the city of Pensacola is no longer requiring people to wear masks inside if they have been vaccinated. The question I know people have asked is, why specifically or why only for vaccinated people? Why the distinction? I think I know what the answer is, but you're the mayor. What's your answer?
I think from the standpoint, that really came down to some discussions that Keith, Ted, and I had, and the concern in still what could spread out there and a number of things. I think you will see some changes by the end of this week that are much more inclined to relieve mask as we move forward. It was a year ago this time, if you remember, and there was a lot of craziness that said, God, Grover Robinson, why is he being crazy about saying he wants to get rid of the mask? I said, we're going to go up and we need masks. We're going to come down and we don't need to do masks. I mean, we need this flexibility, and we need people to listen when government says put it on. And when the threat's no longer there, we need to take it off so that people can relax and do that. And I spoke with the hospitals on Monday. We expect to continue to see declines. I mean, obviously, there are still concerns. And if you are concerned and you wish to wear a mask, you certainly are welcome to do so. We still have some concerns of what we want to do with our employees. I mean, we are finally down to a very low rate. We went about as high as we had over 50 people out at any one time that were city employees. So, you know, that's almost 10% of our employment was out with COVID. We're now back down to, you know, much closer toward going toward 1%. So, you know, that's something we're happier about. But, you know, there's always a fear in dealing with your, you know, much of it. We want to make sure our workforce can continue to show up and do the work they need to do.
Yeah, and I, you know, the way I read the advice or the advisory, the requirement that you guys are giving, which, by the way, it's nice to hear that it looks like we're headed towards a no-mask requirement at City Hall, if I interpret your prelude there correctly, but which is good news. But it's, you know, if the disease is running prevalent, then people shouldn't wear masks, including people who might be susceptible to breakthrough with the vaccine. But if the disease is running only mildly, then obviously unvaccinated people should wear masks. But vaccinated people, you're not as much of a risk within the not as much of a risk in the overall population. So, you know, it makes sense. Well, and you've also been good about, look, we want to incentivize people. And certainly, you know, not needing to wear a mask is an incentive for people if you want to get vaccinated.
It is. But, you know, again, this whole concept of exactly what you were talking about, I mean, I was saying this in September of 2020. So, you know, we've been saying this is what was there, and I think we're just, you know, finally everybody's kind of getting to this point. Okay, when we need to mask up, when it's prevalent, we're going to mask up. When it goes away, we're going to relax that.
Right.
And so I think that's going to be a natural kind of event. But
yeah.
I do believe we need to keep pushing people into getting vaccine that can, because it does prevent some of these outbreaks from happening. It can. We're about 55% of our city workforce is vaccinated. So, you know, I mean, considering before we went up with Delta, we were probably 35. I mean, that's a good
jump.
That's
a significant number to come in as a result of Delta. Yeah, that's good news. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the homeless camp, obviously, underneath I-110. You said something interesting today that I had not heard before, or you said something Monday that I had not heard before, which is that you have actively already been moving people out of that camp into other situations. I think that's not something everybody knows other than I shared it with them yesterday, but can you give us any numbers? Because that would mean that even as you're moving people out, even more people are coming in, which is a problem, but you guys have been actively moving people out, right?
Well, that is correct, Andrew. And I think that also highlights the problem that we have with the current situation, and also sort of a fallacy in some of the people that were coming up and arguing about it. It never goes out, and you can't expect the city of Pensacola to lift everything. If you are truly in this whole thing about you want to end homelessness in Northwest Florida, that's awesome. Let's keep working at it. Pensacola can't be the only one working at it. It's not going to end homelessness in Northwest Florida if Pensacola, Florida, is the only jurisdiction that's doing this. So I think we can do it for a number of people that are in Pensacola, and we can offer the service, and we can be moving it forward. But at the end of the day, we can't do it alone, and we're only going to be able to go as far as we can. I can get the exact number from you from Lawrence, and I thought he had sent that back out to the press through Casey. I apologize you didn't get that. I thought we had already done that. But I do know, like, the original 40 people that started this thing, I think they've all been replaced and gotten into housing and other stuff. You know, I mean, we have done a number of things that we've been opening. We really got started on this to do one thing, and we've been able to find a lot of housing for those individuals. But you're exactly right. It speaks to the fact. And, I mean, the people who showed up to speak in favor of the encampment, they confirmed that as much in their testimony. They confirmed all that. And, they're like, oh, yeah, we're placing people all the time. But we got more people. And I'm like, hey, there are more people out there. But
given all of that, I mean, the criticism has been, that's good, we're helping homeless people find shelter, but the criticism has been, but clearly we've created a magnet. We've created something and allowed it to exist underneath I-110 that we all know, including you have said many times, cannot persist because of the impending construction, but there's a magnet created there that has brought people to that area, which is a problem too.
All of those things absolutely are. Andrew, we've said that, continued to say that, which is why I really think we've got to figure out how to do this. And I think the problem is you can't have one jurisdiction that does this. But I always say, what's the most effective way to have a homeless advocate quit talking about you or giving you any grief? You just don't do anything for them. Look at every other jurisdiction. Do you see any homeless advocates going out there and criticizing other jurisdictions? They don't. They only criticize the ones that actually help them. That is also a paradox. It's just kind of an interesting part that happens. I think I understand why it happens, because they have difficulty getting help. So when they get help, they really press forward on that group. But
I think they give up. I mean, they get so discouraged that they just give up. Whereas here, at least they know they're going to get heard and at least taken serious. It's an interesting observation that you make. We're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson, City of Pensacola Mayor. Hang on for just a second, Grover. Let me get a quick traffic on the fives with Jenna Barr.
All right, just getting reports that the light at Tippin and 9th Avenue is flashing yellow. Use caution in that area. Heading downtown, 9th Avenue towards East Chase Street is also showing some pretty significant delays if you're heading into Gulf Breeze. I-10 and I-110 not showing anything significant at the moment, but if you do see something else, let me know, 850-2626-111. I'm Jenna Barr with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jenna. Back to Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, I think there's a certain amount of victory lap that the city can take this week, as we had the very first games for youth soccer at the new Hitzman Optimus Park soccer complex. And that means that they're not playing on the old football field where there's conflicting schedules and, of course, the danger for the uneven turf, right? It's a big deal.
All of those things were great. And I mean, I saw all the stuff I saw on social media, one of whom, or the parents, is Jared Moore, our own council member, talked about how awesome it was. I mean, it just got rave reviews. It is so awesome. We knew it was awesome, and it's going to be a great thing for the neighborhood. We're already seeing that. We're seeing a lot of the neighbors that were over there were upset. They're like, I really like the walking track. This is really cool. We said everywhere we've introduced that, it's really cool. People like that. We knew when this got open, this was going to be the case, Andrew. I mean, it was never a doubt that this was going to happen. It's unfortunately sometimes what has to happen when you do something new, even when it's going to be awesome and great, people resist it. Kind of gets back to our conversation yesterday. We can't help but resist change. When it gets here, sometimes it's really awesome. And I think Hitzman has proved to be, it's just going to continue to be better and better. And it is nice because right now we have a record number of people playing football. And you know what? Also wanting to play fall baseball. We got out of a problem with soccer and football, but now we're starting a whole new fight between baseball and football because both of them are so successful. That's awesome.
That's a good problem.
The youth in the area, it's just one of those things. But we're able to do more and provide more opportunities for our youth. Keeps them off the street. Keeps them from getting into things they don't need to be into. These are all good things. We should all be happy about it.
It's good. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Mayor, and I kind of had asked PPD about this, but it's not really there. Since they work for you, you're actually the executive who would be able to make these decisions. There's been this change at the Scenic Heights Elementary from having an off-duty law enforcement to having a guardian. The school board has made this decision. Of course, the sheriff, he told us yesterday that he would prefer to see off-duty law enforcement rather than a guardian at county facilities. You, as the executive over the Pensacola Police Department, do you have a preference in terms of school safety, whether it would be a guardian or an off-duty law enforcement officer?
We certainly think the PPD there's nobody better in law enforcement. We also understand and respect that decision is not the city's. Right now, I can tell you that I, as mayor, and what we are doing and the council has done with the budget, we will provide, we will make sure that it can be at every single one. So we've done our scheduling, but we don't make that decision. If the school decides to do something different, that is not the PPD. That is not the mayor making that decision. That is the school board making that decision. I think there are reasons they make that, but it's totally independent of us. But please know, if you're in Scenic Heights, we absolutely have an officer that is available if Scenic Heights was to choose that decision. But again, that's not up to either us or PPD.
Absolutely. I just want to, and I know sometimes people don't understand who's in charge of what decision and who's the authority or who to blame or credit, and I wanted to give you a chance to clarify that as well. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the work. We'll see you Monday at the press conference.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 7:49.